Follow the Money Weekly presents your precious metals market update. Here's Tom Cloud.
You know, Jerry, it's been quite a week. We had the run-up in prices early in the week as we continue to watch what's going on over in Europe. What's amazing is people act like this problem is going to just shut down. That's going to be the end of it. And we see now that all these money center banks are tied to each other all over the world. And certainly this depressionary, deflationary, whatever you want to call it, when people start thinking of the contraction that we could have, and it certainly affected the metals late in the week. But you also got to realize next Tuesday when we have the expiration of the future contracts, it looks like there's going to be a lot of shorts sold and not repurchased. We've seen some of the top timers come out late in the week saying by Monday afternoon or Tuesday, they think the price of all metals are headed back up.
Well, Tom, thanks. And, you know, I should mention that we are conducting this interview on Thursday at the close of business as we're in Detroit, Michigan this weekend conducting our Building True Wealth Financial Seminar. There has been quite a bit of stirring, especially in Europe. People are very scared right now with investing. Here on Thursday, for example, we've seen a pretty good hit to the gold prices, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We've seen them down $50 at one time during the late afternoon, and we've seen them back at the end of March. They'd had 17 pretty good days in November and come from 1720, and now we've given all that back for the month. We're right back to where we started November 1st. And once again, after what happened with MF Global and then to see our friend Gerald Celente come out, find that he was one of the guys caught in the crossfire was just unbelievable. It just more than ever shows people they've got to get physical metals and get them in their hand because there's a huge shortage. And as Gerald said, that, you know, it could take months or years, but people need to realize that money in their banks and their brokerage accounts are at risk no matter what. If there's only 2% of the money in the insurance funds to cover what's out there, it doesn't take but one big hit at a big bank, and people could end up in litigation for years. So I think what Gerald was saying, people are really starting to look at. I know the calls I've got today on Thursday have been some very interesting calls about people for the first time after listening to Gerald saying, you know, I'm going to get some of my money out of the bank and get it into physical metals. They're learning they're going to take delivery or leave them in a bonding warehouse, but you've got to have the physical metal. You don't want future contracts. But I think after Monday or Tuesday, we could see a prolonged period that could last into next year, if not all year, on gold and silver, because I do believe this weekend, while the problem's not going to be solved, I think it's going to be some kind of agreement over in Europe that's going to move this thing forward where a default is not imminent, but actually another window of quantitative easing is coming in Europe. The Germans and French probably will agree to write down some of the debt, which is in their best interest. But to me, it's just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. It's not getting rid of the problem. So next week could be the start of the next bump up, even though we have seen in November go from 1720 up to 1800, 5% in a week, and now it's giving all of it back the next week. And I would not be surprised to see it gain it all back next week and the week after. So it is a good time to add a little bit of gold to your portfolio.
Yeah, and you make the point about Gerald Celente, which was pretty shocking, because who realized that he had six figures in futures, not an actual physical? And I guess he did say that he had some physical last time he was on the program, but he was diversifying and had some in futures. Peter Schiff was just on the show, Tom, and he made the point that you want to stay away from these numismatic coins too, which was really something, because, you know, we're really beginning to hear more and more of that. You and I have been beating that drum, and of course you've been beating that drum for a long time, but ever since you've been on this program, we've been talking about how people need to be in bullion if they're going to buy for inflation protection. And I'm looking at some of the stories this week, Tom. I mean, it's really something. The Federal Reserve is now the largest holder of the national debt, which is now $15 trillion as of this week. China, which held the majority of the debt, is now second place to the Fed. And we knew this was coming. It's just unbelievable. And also that the dollar's dominance is going to be challenged within the next decade, according to a recent report. But you and I both know that that is probably a long time. I would imagine we'll begin seeing a tremendous challenge to the dollar here in the coming years, especially with the fact that the ECB has been withholding some real excessive easing, which I know those politicians over there are licking their chops, waiting for the ECB to flood it with some quantitative easing. And the ECB is holding back a attempting to get these guys over there running these countries to actually display some discipline. It's unknown at this point whether they're actually going to really tighten their belts fully or if they're really just kind of biding their time waiting for the ECB to flood it. I did see a report from Timothy Geithner during the week in the Wall Street Journal where he said the solution to Europe is easy. It's simple. It's not rocket science. He said the ECB can fix it. You got to be kidding me. And this is exactly the idea that the United States has, is simply print money and you fix your problem. And that's exactly why people who are worried about this kind of stuff need to be buying gold bullion, silver bullion, and the like.
Well, they should be, Jared, and they really, to sit there and act, we're not saying the stock market won't come back if we have a quantitative easing 3 and they flood the market with money and stay out of a recession. Certainly the stock market could come back some, but right now, its bigger issue is just, is your money safe where it is when all these brokerage firms in America are loaded with euro debt over there in their commercial paper with nothing to back it except an IOU. I promise to pay you. There's nothing physically backing all these money market accounts and brokerage firms that have invested in foreign commercial paper. It's ridiculous. It's just the point where it's something you got to look at because you look out at the people, you know, I have people telling me all the time, well, they will fix it. I said, who is they? Well, they is our leaders. And I said, so how do our leaders get us in this position? How are they going to fix something this severe? Of course, the answer is they can fix it, but not like Geithner said, they're going to go to a gold standard where there's responsibility for printing. You can't print money out of thin air. And we go back to a 1940s, 50s, 60s scenario where people work hard and unemployment's low and people save money and things aren't expensive and not trying to keep up with the Joneses and that kind of situation that the mindset that this country's got to go back to. They'll go back to it whether they want to or not. I mean, it's just amazing to me, even though there's not what I would call a huge demand compared to times I've seen the last 10 years, silver's back ordered everywhere. Whether I buy from Royal Canadian Mint or U.S. Mint or whoever it is, everybody has silver back order. It's getting behind, and there's the big demand is not even hit yet. And you've got to think of China is going to continue on with electronics, and they know what kind of silver they have to have in the next decade. And I've seen figures that can drive the price of silver anywhere from 8 to 15% a year, if not another person on Earth bought it, if it was just for industrial demand. But more and more people that will quit buying futures and buy the physical will, you know, help themselves and help the world because those derivatives have got to go. That's something that when you have hundreds of millions, trillions of dollars out there and no way to repay it, at some point we're going to see more and more of them rear their ugly head.
Well, next up on the program after this segment, Tom, we're going to be bringing on David Morgan, silver-investor.com. He runs the Morgan Report, and he's been beating the drums for silver for a long time, been a big silver cheerleader, and I'm looking forward to kind of quizzing him on some of these things. But I might get your take on this, because you just mentioned a while ago that when the quantitative easing, which inevitably we're going to see here again in the United States to get things going again, happens, whether it's in the ECB or the Federal Reserve or it's coordinated or whatever, you know, we're certainly going to see a rise in asset prices. We'll see stock prices pop, and that'll be good for people's 401ks and IRAs. It seems as if lately, Tom, that gold prices and even silver prices are being viewed as risk assets and not the traditional inflation hedges which they have in the past. So they go up with the stock market and they kind of come down with the stock market. It's really an interesting place. What do you think the reason for that is? Why are people lumping gold and silver in with other risk assets? And why has it lost some of its inflation hedge in some investors' minds as of late?
Well, I think it's volatility, Jerry. I think when, if you're sitting there and you watch the stock market the last 10 years and you've seen it go up to 14,000, back down to 8,000, and up to 11 or 12, and back to 10, and up 13, and all of a sudden gold is doing the same thing, but what they're not looking at is the trend. The stock market is still 25% less than it was 11 years ago, and gold's gone from 250 to 1720.
That's true.
And you still got the trend, but because more money has come into it and more people are playing derivatives with it, it's making it jump around more. Where if it was just on a cash basis or a physical basis, you would not see this kind of volatility. But we've mentioned many times on this show, last 68 months, 66 of those 68 months, gold's gone up 2% or more. I mean, what in the world else to find that can do that? And we haven't had anything resembling a parabolic rise yet that we know we'll have at some point in this move that we're in, whether it's another 3 or 6 6 or 7 years for this gold bull market, it is going to be looked at, like you said, as one of its own asset class. It's going to be looked at more as a speculative investment. And as long as people can buy futures, there are going to be people going in and out. But as I've said also on the show many times, with what the Chicago board has done up there, CBO, and raising these reserve requirements, they're really helping us long term. You don't see on the short term because it takes away some of the speculators, but on the long term, these speculators are going to physical gold and silver, and it's really defeating their purpose of raising the reserve requirements. But we do have to wait months for that to show. Gold and silver are going to continue to be volatile, but when you compare them to stocks, in my opinion, they're going to continue to beat them for several more years.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. You know, you and I need to do another webinar soon, so we probably need to get that on the books. Maybe we should shoot for the beginning of the year. All the folks out there really enjoyed the last one that we did on gold, silver, and palladium, and then we also talked about diamond investing. Well, if folks want to contact you, Tom, you know, we get so many emails here from people who say, we really value Tom. We value his counsel. We value being able to call him up and just bounce something off of him. Many of the gold and silver investors in our audience really have formed a great relationship with you, and you with them likewise. If the folks out there who maybe have never called you before, explain to them your services and how they can contact you.
Well, it's a brokerage service now, Jerry, full time. It's been that way about 7-8 years. I'm no longer a market maker, and because of the contacts I've made in this business over 30 years, I have access to a lot of inventories and a lot of specials, and I just try to match the investor with what product they want at the lowest possible price I can get it for them, and we throw in the postage and the insurance, which is also going up all the time. We take that out of our part, and we're trying to fix them every time we do it to where they have no more than, you know, 2-3% to go up to break even. And I just don't know anybody else in the country that can do that and provide any service, because we're trying to fix them to give them the lowest break even point in the market. And then, like every gold and silver product, have a different premium, and every one of them are looked at a little differently. And that's what we try to find, which one best suits each investor, where they know they're going into it and what to expect. They can reach me at 800-247-2812, 800-247-2812, or they can just go on FTM Daily and click on the Precious Metals button and sign up for my free email distribution list. It goes out 2 or 3 times a week. Certainly the one I sent out today on Thursday, I hope every single person has looked at, because it'll give you tremendous education into the exchange stabilization fund that I get so many questions about during the year. And finally, I found a clip on YouTube that is the best explanation I've seen yet. So that'll help a lot of people understand what's going on.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We'll be off next weekend, so enjoy your Turkey Day, Thanksgiving with your family.
All the listeners, I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving.